Let's read together John chapter 13, verses 18 through 30. Here we have the Lord's prediction that he would be betrayed by one of his own disciples. John 13, verse 18. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. Let's consider some background notes, first of all. In order to reconstruct the scene in which Judas is identified as the betrayer, we need to remember that in the first century, they did not sit at tables the way we do for special meals like the Passover. Rather, they reclined on low backless couches or divans around a low table. So Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper, where you have the Lord sitting at a table with six disciples on each side, is really not historically correct, is it? As they reclined on these low couches, they lay on their stomachs and propped themselves up on their left elbow, leaving their right hand free for eating. And they did not use silverware. They used bread to dip into the sauce or meat dishes on the table. Now, this background is important for understanding how John was leaning on the chest of Jesus, verse 23, as well as how Judas received the morsel of bread there in verse 26. In verse 23, we read, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. We believe that's John. John's couch was arranged so that the head area of his couch was near the chest area of the Lord's couch. And when the Lord said in verse 21, one of you will betray me, Peter, whose couch was at another part of the table, gestured to John to ask Jesus who it is that's going to betray him. So John, you see, leaned back and in a quiet voice said to the Lord, verse 25, Lord, who is it? The Lord responded again in a quiet voice that was not heard by the rest of the disciples. Verse 26, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. The Lord then reached into a meat or sauce dish with a piece of bread and gave it to Judas. And the Lord said to Judas at that point, what you do, do quickly. And Judas left the group. Even at this point, no one suspected Judas. The other disciples thought that Judas was going out to buy some last-minute items or to give something to the poor. He was the treasurer of the group, as we see there in verse 29. Now, you don't make unreliable or questionable people treasurers of a group. So on the surface, it looked like Judas was the least likely of the disciples to be the betrayer. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, the betrayal by Judas was a fulfillment of Scripture. The betrayal by Judas was a fulfillment of Scripture. Verse 18, once again, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. The Lord had just finished the foot washing. And he had indicated that they were not all clean. Go back to verses 10 and 11. Jesus said to him, that is to Peter, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. And now the Lord specifically indicated that one of his disciples would betray him. Verse 21, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. As the Lord contemplated that betrayal by one of his own disciples, and as he contemplated the fate that awaited Judas, he was deeply disturbed in his human spirit. It's not that the Lord was surprised, but it was the nearness of these events that was weighing heavily on his human soul. The Lord knew all along that he would be betrayed. Back in John chapter 6, verses 70 and 71, we read, Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. We see here from John 13 and verse 19 that this fact of our Lord's omniscience would become proof of his deity. Verse 19, once again, now I tell you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may know that I am he. You will know that I am, God. Notice the he is in italics. This is that title of deity that comes right from the Old Testament. You remember when the Lord revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush? This is the title, the divine title that was used. And the Lord here once again is claiming that. The prophecy quoted here in verse 18, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me, comes from the messianic portion of Psalm 41 and verse 9. In this psalm, David was referring to Ahithophel, one of his trusted counselors. Ahithophel betrayed David to Absalom when Absalom usurped the throne. When Ahithophel's counsel was rejected by Absalom, Ahithophel went out and hanged himself. You can read about those events in 2 Samuel 16 and 17. Ahithophel, then, in this typical messianic psalm, is a picture of Judas, who betrayed his Lord and then went out and hanged himself. Now, the fact that Judas betrayed the Lord in fulfillment of Scripture in no way relieved Judas of his sin in betraying the Lord. Acts chapter 1 makes this quite clear. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 16, we read, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. And in Acts 1 verse 25, we read, Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Judas was guilty of transgression. Judas was responsible for every single one of his actions, even though the betrayal by Judas was a fulfillment of Scripture. Doctrinal point number two. There is a difference between satanic possession and satanic influence. There is a difference between satanic possession and satanic influence. Look at verse 27. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now up until this point, Judas was not possessed by Satan. He was influenced by Satan. Look back at verse 2 of this chapter. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, that's satanic influence, but not satanic possession. There is a difference. When the Lord had to rebuke Peter in Matthew 16, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Peter there was not possessed by Satan, but his ideas and statements about the Lord not having to go to the cross were greatly influenced by Satan. Here in John 13, we have a very unique case in Judas. Here is satanic possession. After Judas received the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Think of it, a man possessed by Satan himself. Today, there are occasions of demonic possession of unbelievers, but probably not satanic possession. Satan can only be in one place at one time. He's not omnipresent. Satan is waiting until the time of the end, when he will possess the leader referred to as the beast in Revelation chapter 13. Today, there is much satanic influence and some demonic possession, but probably not satanic possession. Remember, there is a difference between satanic possession and satanic influence. Let's move to our practical application for this section. Practical application number one. There is only night if you turn from the light. There is only night if you turn from the light. Verse 30. Having received the piece of bread, Judas went out immediately, and it was night. It was not only after sundown, night, but it was night for the soul of Judas. We believe the spiritualization of Scripture here is legitimate because the contrast between light and darkness is one of the themes of the Gospel of John. Jesus is the light of the world. This world is in spiritual and moral darkness. There is only the night of the world if you turn from the light of the world. I remember we had a student come to Emmaus a number of years ago. He stayed for 1 year. At first, he professed to be a Christian. After 1 year, he left Emmaus. The next time I saw him, he said that he had given up the Christian faith, and he was now seeking for the truth and happiness. To this day, he's still searching. He'll never find the truth and happiness apart from Christ. He's further away now than he ever was. He's hardened and blinded. Why? Because there is only night if you turn from the light. Practical application number two. Don't refuse your last chance for salvation. Don't refuse your last chance for salvation. When the Lord gave Judas the morsel of bread, it was considered a gesture of kindness and honor extended to a friend. And the Lord was not playing games here with Judas. The Lord loved Judas. The Lord had washed Judas' feet. And now the Lord was giving Judas one last chance to change his mind and reverse his course of action. But Judas refused his last chance for salvation. The point of no return had been reached. Judas now was open to Satan. How tragic. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like Judas. You're the trustworthy type of person who would be the logical person to choose to be the treasurer of a group or of a committee. You've been going along with the Christian faith, maybe because that's the way you were brought up. You had Christian parents. But is it possible that you're considering going the other way now? You never really did become a believer? Don't, because a hardening process sets in. This may be your last chance for salvation. Don't refuse your last chance for salvation.